Welcome to the Lusima Podcast. This is Charles Lusima. It is, I don't know, Thursday, I think. I've been back for about 36 hours or so. Let's see, coming up on, actually, yeah, just about 30, 40, maybe 40 hours or so. And, where did I go? I went to Taipei for about 8 days to see family and take care of some other stuff. And Taipei is 15 hours away, so it's 15-hour flight. It's also a 15-hour time difference, which is a real pain in the ass when you only have 8 days to adjust and be there. So for the majority of the time that I was there, I was tremendously jet-lagged. And by tremendously, I mean I was sleeping 3-4 hours a night at best and minimally functional during the day, because I was exhausted. And I was already tired going into Taipei because I had like 3 shoots just before I left. I stacked them pretty intensely. I think there were like 3 shoots in 4 days, which I generally don't do because I don't like shooting that much in a short amount of time, because it creates a lot of work that you have to then process. But it was nice. So I did it, and I didn't get much time to work through it while I was in Taipei, which is, you know, I guess kind of the nature of the beast of being somewhere where you have to do stuff and you don't get really much downtime to sit around and edit pictures. But I'm back, and I guess there's a few things to talk about, but I do want to talk about one specific thing that has to do with editing, has to do with shooting. And it dawned on me earlier as I was retouching pictures that as I retouch more, I find that I let small things, I don't want to say slip through the cracks, but I'm less attentive to the minuscule detail that nobody really sees. Of course, if you're working on a beauty shot, it has to be flawless. So I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about pictures where you are you're trying to capture a look and feel. And I think the problem with a lot of photographers, especially new photographers, is that they don't quite get the gist of what that picture should look like, and then they focus on details that nobody really notices. And what I usually say is you kind of miss the forest from the trees. You don't see the forest from the trees. All you see are trees. And that happens a lot with, especially with even beauty retouching. What happens is you focus on the pores, and then you miss the fact that there's general blotchiness in the skin tone. And that's one specific example where it has to do with beauty retouching. But in general retouching, I think it has to do with the fact that you can get focused on some random detail that really nobody else is going to see. But what you've really missed is that you haven't captured something, for example, that is more attention grabbing. It's not something that embodies the elements of photography that most people would approve of, if that makes any sense. And I'm not talking about anything specifically. I'm really not talking about technical details like composition or rule of thirds or even exposure or any of those things. What I'm really talking about more so is that you're working on a picture that maybe is quite mediocre, and what you're trying to do is basically polish a turd. Let me say that again. What you're trying to do is basically polish a turd. And in that process, you think you are accomplishing something greater than you really are. That means you think that you're making it way better than that picture really has any potential to be. So I guess the thing to remember, especially even for me right now, is try to make sure that you're working on the good pictures or a picture that deserves time. And don't go overboard on the attention to detail, because a lot of what we're doing, especially right now, is posting on social media, which means the file size is rather small. It's practically thumbnail size, and if it's not, I mean, even if it takes up the entire phone that you're viewing it on, we're talking about a small display. So the kind of details that you're resolving or that you're retouching out, wrinkles and whatnot, and little blemishes here and there, just can't be appreciated by anybody who's looking at it. And even if they were looking at it on a larger platform, such as a billboard or a magazine, even then, I think most people would fail to appreciate the significance or the difference, rather, from what you started with and what you ended up with. And myself included. So when I'm retouching, a lot of times I feel like I get really laser focused and locked into certain things, but I can miss a really big part of the picture. Or it, just in general, I think that I take too much time to process any specific picture when I could be, or should be rather, running through these pictures a lot faster so that I can put them out at a higher frequency. So that was the first thing that I wanted to talk about. And, you know, just take it for what it's worth. I think your mileage may vary. Everybody has a different approach. Some people don't process anything at all. So a lot of what I've said is really moot because they just maybe slap on a filter or a preset, and then they call it a day, which I honestly really, really admire, because I don't have that ability to just throw something out there without taking a little bit of time and effort and kind of perfecting things. One of the sets that I put out recently, it's this, it's the white bed set that I did with Katharina Berman. It's on my Instagram. It's probably, I actually have two pictures, and each picture contains two images. So we're really talking about four images. That entire set, I didn't process really outside of just putting on or slapping on a preset. So for me, it's very rare when I can just throw something out there with slapping on a preset. That being said, there was a very specific reason why I could do that, because I shot that set specifically with a very shallow focus and in conjunction with a lot of motion blur. I actually shot that, I think it was like way under 1/100th of a second. I think it was more like possibly 1/20th of a second, 1/50th of a second, something like that. And I was moving around, she was moving around, and the whole purpose was to induce enough motion where it felt like it was more spur of the moment and less set up. And by the nature of that idea and that style, there really isn't anything to perfect, right? I mean, the skin tones that you'll find on her in those sets, they're blended already. They're already kind of blurred. So I don't need to sit down and kind of polish out the uneven skin tones and the wrinkles and or anything else. I just slapped on a black and a white filter and looked at it, and I said, it looked pretty good. She looks great. That's that. Outside of those instances, my style, of course, unfortunately for myself, is much more nitpicky and much more time intensive. And that just requires me to sit down and either liquefy the hell out of something or some part of her, not Kat specifically, but any model in general. Or I'm focusing on color tones and, or something else, you know, and it's just my style. That's how I think of things. That's how I work through things. It's quite rare when I can just throw something out there after throwing on or slapping on a preset. So, but that was fun for me because that was definitely outside my general comfort zone and my general MO, modus operandum. It's not how I do things typically. But it was fun. So anyway, I'll leave that be. That is that part of the discussion that I wanted to just talk about. Because, and the reason I wanted to just get that out there was because there were a lot of times during previous workshops or private lessons, one-on-one speaking, of which I need to get a model or two. So mental note for a workshop that's coming up. So there were a lot of times in the past when I felt like I was working with photographers who were very fixated on specific details, but they failed to grasp the fact that they were working on a picture that really didn't have much potential. And they would argue that, well, look at this specific thing, whatever, you know, fill in the blanks, specific detail that they think is so perfect, when the rest of the image doesn't hold itself together. So they're spending like 3-4 hours, I don't know, doing what, but ultimately they put it out there and they don't receive the reception, or they don't get the reception that they think they should have gotten. And the reason is simple, is that the picture itself is not good. You might have perfected some random technical detail, but the rest of it is just not good. And I don't know how else to say that, but you've just missed the point. You've completely missed the mark. It's not, you know, you only see one thing, but when you ought to see the entirety of it. But the funny thing is, I myself suffer from that same myopia, that same nearsightedness as well. I'm not immune to those type of mistakes. I generally, however, am a little bit better at looking at the overall image from a very, very far away distance. And if I don't feel like it grabs my attention as a thumbnail, then it really probably is unlikely to capture my attention as a large blown up image. But again, that's something that you have to learn, that everybody has to learn, and takes time to cultivate that skill set. Okay, the other thing I wanted to address, and this is actually, I think this is the third podcast that I've done since the last podcast that you've heard. I just don't release stuff. I record stuff, it's short, maybe I don't finish it, and then I just don't upload it because I don't like the way it sounds. And actually, that's kind of the topic, which is a lot of times when you know, like that last podcast that you listened to, there was this weight in the way that I was saying things and what I was saying. And, you know, I don't mean to be an alarmist. I'm not trying to what's the word? Scare anybody, really. I do think that podcast is actually a very accurate description, or depiction rather, of my personality. On a day-to-day basis, I don't know who I'm gonna get, to be honest with you, which is part of the fun, but it's also part of the very inconsistent nature of who I am. Ultimately, as hard as I try to contain things and control things and manipulate and even out and normalize, there's this part of me that makes it incredibly difficult to do any of those things when I feel that way. And, you know, some could criticize me for not being as diligent about maintaining certain work ethic or habits, or not sticking to a schedule, or some sort of rigid regimen, rather, to which I have no ability to, I can't deny that, right? So, for example, as a photographer, before the kids were born, I don't know if I'd even get up before, let's say, I don't know, 9 or 10 a.m. After the kids, I'm up before 8:30 every day, of course, because of the kids. Okay, but before, I didn't really maintain a strict schedule because I felt like, well, you know, this is artistry, right? I'm an artist and I get to do things when I want. And as a result, honestly, I think, because I was thinking, well, you know, the creativity is going to come to me. It'll come to me when it feels like it, not when I feel like it. I have no control over it. And so I let things be very laissez-faire, you know, very whatever happens, happens. But I think there's a fallacy to that. That's not exactly the way creativity works. And so specifically as creativity is concerned, I actually think it can be better cultivated in an environment that is consistent and that is, again, I mean, it's not to say that creativity shouldn't be nurtured and shouldn't be protected, but it is rather to say that creativity isn't random. If you feel good, for example, if you've got your coffee, if the sun is shining and you've got time and space, physical space to work, ample time to not feel pressured, creativity is more likely to blossom in those environments. On the other hand, if you're tired, if you haven't had your coffee, if you've got work pressure, if you're under time constraints, if you got your kids breathing down your throat, and you don't even have a physical space to work, and your desk is cluttered, those are variables that you can control for and definitely could hinder your creativity. And that's creativity specifically. That's just one aspect of artistry that is, again, that is broad and vast, right? Being an artist, is not just limited to being creative. But I think there is this misconception that, oh, you know, artists, they can get up whenever the heck they want, they can drink, and they can, you know, that's whatever, they just let inspiration come to them. When on the other hand, I do believe that it's actually much more strict, and I think it can be controlled for and can be cultivated. It's not that you can force it to happen, but I think you can create an environment that is more welcoming and allows creativity to occur or inspiration to occur. And so that's an example of how maybe I haven't really, historically, I haven't done a good job of allowing myself to be more consistent. So if I don't podcast for like 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever it is, it's partially my own fault. You know, I can't just blame it on my ups and downs. And that's a lesson to myself and really a slap on the wrist to try to remind myself that there are things that I can do to be more consistent. Again, and that also goes for shooting. A lot of times we have ups and downs because we either shoot ourselves out in the sense that, you know, we shoot too much and then we crash and burn, burn out, or we get overwhelmed with edits, or we just don't have enough models to shoot for whatever reason. In my case, sometimes I just don't reach out. In fact, I haven't reached out to a model in months. So sometimes if I don't shoot in a specific week, it's because I was lazy and I didn't ask a model to shoot, and I just relied on whoever was asking me to shoot. And that's my fault. I mean, that's something I can control for. If I want to stay more consistent with shooting, I guess I could be a little bit more consistent with keeping that inflow of model talent going and not just waiting for people to reach out. So yeah, in general, it goes back to what I'm really trying to say. I mean, what is the point of all of this is to say that for any given artist, I think there's a part of their personality that is uncontrollable. Right, whether it's genetic or chemistry or psychological, let's just say those are variables that are out of reach of our ability to control, that for whatever reason, that's just how we are, and the best that we can do is simply accept that that's who we are. And then there's that other part of our personality which can be contained and can be manipulated and can be at least adjusted. And, you know, I think I think it's fair to say many artists are not diligent and unfortunately actually are quite poor at managing for those variables and managing for those aspects or traits or characteristics of their personality, that they sometimes let themselves go a little bit more than they should. And so I wanted to talk about that, because that part of the conversation is productive. There is no part of the conversation that's productive when I tell you that I don't feel well, that I don't feel like talking a lot, all of which are true. Then, of course, it begs the question of, well, then why don't you feel well? What is the root source of the problem? Can we adjust for that? Can we control for it? And the answer is really, some of it you can and some of you can't. I think if you look at this thing, this personality thing, or this, you know, this individualism thing, from an optimistic perspective, I think what's amazing is, of course, that is what makes me me. That's what makes you you. It's what makes each of us unique, which is what we all aspire to be. We want to be unique artists and individualistic. Sometimes, however, that character trait is a character flaw, and it can come back to bite you in the ass, because for anything that is a huge positive, it also has, it carries a huge negative for whatever it might be. If you're incredibly attentive to detail, the unfortunate part of it is that sometimes you'll miss the bigger picture. If you're really, really good at being a photographer, you might not be a great human being. And I'm not saying that you're a bad person. I'm just saying that if you're ever really good at one thing, it's more than likely that you've neglected some other part of your life. And that's just how it has to be, because if you spend all the time in your life doing one thing, you're just not doing other things. That's a fact. I'm not putting anybody down, you know. Like, Steve Jobs was a terrible human being. People who worked with him very closely basically knew he was an asshole. But did he make the most amazing phone ever? Of course he did. Even Android users have iPhone envy. Of course they do. But that's not the point. The point is that Steve Jobs was a genius, but he was also a dick. And yeah, as it pertains to our craft, I think that's just the nature of the beast when you're incredibly talented or incredibly focused on any one given thing, that you're bound to neglect something else. There are very few people who are incredibly talented and then also super well-rounded. You know, I think historically Picasso was the only one that I could think of who enjoyed his success while he was alive. Most of the artists in the past, especially, like, the opposite would be true. The opposite of Picasso would be like Van Gogh, who ultimately killed himself because he was such a failure, and he had other problems outside of finance, but he couldn't succeed, and he couldn't enjoy any of the success that was posthumously awarded to him. On the other hand, Picasso was, as far as I know, as far as all accounts go, was a ladies' man, and was very charismatic and successful while he was alive. Traveled a lot, worked a lot, and everybody loved him. You know, so it's very rare that there are artists like that, because generally speaking, I think when you meet artists, they're generally quirky, and those quirks are either a byproduct of their success or their talent, or just, you know, a part of that overall being. But rarely do you find someone who is so well acclimated in, you know, social settings and also simultaneously tremendously talented. You know, I do want to break from that and There's not any more that I can really tell you about who I am or what I am, other than to say that I, like anybody else, go through ups and downs, you know. And I do think that sometimes my moods are a little bit more extreme. I do my best to try to temper them. And for all intents and purposes, I don't think that anybody thinks that there's anything wrong with me. I think it's important for me to recognize that there are instances where I'm a little bit off what, you know, the normal range of the extremities of normal people's moods and behaviors. It's important for me to recognize that, so I don't like damage relationships and then really say stuff that I don't mean and then hurt people. It's also important for me to recognize who I am and just accept that part of me that I can't change, and then of course temper whatever I can, whatever part of me that I can change. But the more important thing that I wanted to talk about was this idea of staying optimistic. I think it is an incredible challenge for artists to stay upbeat. And I'm not saying that you ought to fake it, but I think that we generally tend to pick at stuff that we find problematic, right? I mean, for example, I've always said that I'm a problem solver. So I'm looking for problems to solve. If there are no problems to solve, I can't fulfill my destiny, you know, my DNA. It is extremely important that I find something to fix, because generally, otherwise I'll feel really useless, or I'll feel like, you know, this. I actually find that there's something wrong with the world if there's nothing for me to solve. But by nature of being that kind of a person, I'm largely very realistic, and I think even like my wife would say I'm pessimistic, right? And so I guess the topic of conversation I want to bring to the table is more your perspective as far as how you are an artist. And look, I don't really have any answers for you outside of the just being able to say that be aware that your mood affects your artistry. Be aware that your mood affects the way that you engage other people. Your perspective affects the way that you engage other people, and that they feed off of that energy. When I talk on this podcast, one of the things I try to remind myself is that some of this is supposed to be educational. So I try not to give you too much realism. I try to give you guys a little bit more of the, you know, the positivity, or the what's the point of this all, you know, and trying to help you guys do better in your craft. Maybe I succeed, maybe I don't. I don't know. But there's no point of it if all I do is just complain and bitch and moan about stuff that I either don't do well, or that I can't fix, or that I don't like. I mean, there's enough of that to go around in spades. But I keep it in my head, you know, where it belongs. There's really little benefit when all I do, if I get on this mic and all I do is just complain about how some model sucked, or so-and-so said this, and, you know, this happened to me and it was awful, right? It doesn't matter. I mean, the great thing about my personality is that excuses have no place in any place. I got off the plane, like I said, like 40 hours ago, and I got home. I had an upset stomach. So I got off an 11-hour flight where I slept like, you know, 4 hours, whatever, you know, four hours or so. Got off the plane, got home, had an upset stomach, and then put on my bike clothes, and I went cycling for an hour and a half or two. And to be honest with you, I didn't feel like it. Not really, not tremendously. I actually felt kind of nauseous when I got off the plane, because, you know, the time difference, and then also having not slept for days on end. I felt awful, really. But I'm glad I went, because if I didn't go cycling, there's no one else and nothing else to say about or blame about that situation. I just would have missed a day. But because I went, I felt better. I got the blood flowing, built up an appetite. And that night I slept really well. Point of it is that I think if you look hard enough, you're going to find an excuse to not do anything or to skip something or to neglect something. It's easy. Diligence is difficult, and being consistent is really difficult. So fortunately, for me at least, there's very little slack that I give myself in certain aspects of what I do. And that generally creates a more consistent experience either for me or for you, with me or with you. I'm missing the point a little bit. I know that I was talking about something else more specifically, but I'm forgetting a little bit why I kind of roundabout, you know, found my way over to talking about riding my bike so soon after getting off the plane. But anyway, the positivity thing, I mean the optimism thing, I'm not trying to say that you guys should go out and be super happy all the time. That's not real either. It doesn't make any sense. But there is, I think, a part of my perception that I can try to manipulate, and thinking negative things and saying negative things all day is only going to lead to more negativity. And if that negativity doesn't help me perform, then I need to be able to get that out of my system. And as far as this podcast is concerned, again, I do my best. I try to do my best as far as presenting a hopefully an educational experience, and at least giving you some insight into what I deal with on a regular basis, so that hopefully, you know, you can relate. Maybe you guys have the same problems. Maybe you don't. Maybe you have different problems, and maybe you can at least see that people work through stuff all the time, you know, and it isn't perfect. It isn't easy. It's sometimes difficult, and you got to chew through the cud to get through the BS to be able to create stuff, even when you don't feel like it, you know? So that's as much as I want to say about the ups and downs of mood swings and personalities, and especially when it comes to staying focused and staying at least optimistic with how things are going to turn out. So anyway, I'm glad to be back stateside. I'm heading off to a shoot. It's 7:40. It's actually quite early still. I've been up since 3. I just happened to have not slept a lot last night. But, you know, it's going to be okay. Things are going to be okay, and I want you guys to know that no matter what happens, I mean, look, it's unlikely that any of the difficulties and challenges that you and I face in this country are life-threatening. That is a godsend. I'm not trying to say, you know, oh, you know, you should just be grateful and then not worry and not bitch and moan. But there is no life, and we're not making life or death decisions here. We're really not. So we're blessed to be able to do what we do. And in that sense, we ought to just be thankful. So yeah, I am saying that we ought to be grateful. But more so what I'm saying is you got to kind of look at it from a bigger picture, which is what we do, you know, the challenges that we face and all the difficulties and all of the bad things really pale in comparison to life and death decisions, or not having enough food on the table and going hungry or not having shelter. I don't think there's anybody who's listening to this podcast who's suffering from that any of these type of problems, because if you were, you wouldn't be listening to this podcast. You'd be scrounging for food, or you'd be, you know, trying to find shelter, or trying to do whatever it is that you're, you know, trying to fulfill in Maslow's pyramid. You're definitely not listening to this podcast because you want to learn how to retouch better, or you want to do, you know, create a new style or whatever. Like, that's not on the order of priorities. That's rather low when you're not when you haven't fulfilled the other levels of Maslow's pyramid. So that serves as a reminder to myself, because I mean, we all lose perspective. I mean, going back to Taipei, I mean, Taipei is not poor either. It's not like I went back there and saw like poverty everywhere. So it's not, that's not why I'm saying this. I'm saying this because I had some time away and it's nice to be able to get some perspective. And I know that I'm not the most positive guy. And I know that, that a lot of times when I talk about stuff, it comes from a place of negativity, but I try and I do my best to spin it in terms of making it useful so that it's not just negative for negativity's sake, but rather something that we can all learn from and hopefully laugh at, because a lot of things I do are kind of silly and they're kind of stupid, you know, as far as mistakes go. But that's the beauty of it, is it's part of this thing that we call life, and there are so many different layers and aspects of it, and again, I can't account for all of them, and I certainly don't expect that this specific podcast addresses all of those different things or touches all those different things. It is but a very, very small sliver of everything else. But I appreciate you guys for listening. I will try to keep these things more productive and informative. And you guys keep shooting, man. Keep shooting. If you guys have any questions, comments, let me know. And I'll talk to you guys all soon. Peace.